Well, hi there, everybody. This is Pastor AJ coming to you again from South Granville Church. I hope that you and your family are doing well, that you're safe and healthy, and that you're having a great summer so far. I'm excited to be with you again today as we continue our series looking at the fruit of the Spirit from Galatians chapter 5. And today, we're going to talk about the fruit of kindness, something that I think all of us would love to experience more of, especially as we go through this very difficult season over the last few months. And so you don't really need me to tell you that the world would benefit from more kindness. When you see the way that people treat one another, especially when there's conflict or disagreement, we see a world where people are very quick to vilify or tear people down, where the things that get retweeted are often the snarky, cutting comments that people make, where we live in a, you know, quote-unquote cancel culture, where anytime somebody steps out of line or does something wrong, there's this kind of online mob ready to burn them at the stake and keep them from doing anything else. Now, sure, there are definitely benefits from being able to name injustice, to point out things that people need to change. There is, in some ways, something healthy about introducing shame into our culture, which has largely been quite shameless in the way people act and treat each other. But there's also something really destructive, right? We do not live in a very kind, merciful, forgiving culture. A few years ago, I read this book called So You've Been Publicly Shamed by the author John Ronson, who sometimes reports on This American Life and other podcasts. He's a pretty well-known figure. And he himself experienced a shaming incident over Twitter. And that experience made him want to write about what people go through and what they experience. And one of the most memorable stories in the book is he talks about this author who admittedly, you know, kind of fudged some quotes when writing a book about Bob Dylan. I don't know if you would call it plagiarism exactly, but he kind of altered some existing quotes from Dylan to fit what he was trying to say. And so, was it wrong? Yes, absolutely. Is it the greatest crime that the world has ever known? No, of course not. And over the course of a couple of years, he, you know, got found out and went through this whole difficult process. And one of the things that he ended up doing was he ended up reading a public apology. But the people who had invited him to do that decided to put these huge screens on either side of him. And the whole time he was speaking, they were allowing people to write on Twitter, and it was being broadcast live right next to his face. So he's trying to speak and explain, you know, his version of the story, and people are just tearing him apart, and everybody gets to read it. It was obviously a very difficult, very shameful experience, but it, I think, is reflective of how we want to respond to people when they make us angry or when they do something wrong. We are so quick to judge and criticize and condemn, and it creates, I think, a very difficult, very hostile culture in a lot of ways. There's not a lot of grace. There's not a lot of mercy, and especially right now when we don't agree about how to reopen or whether or not you should wear a mask or what the government should be doing, there is this thick tension that really coats a lot of our relationships, and we are desperate for some kindness, for people to just be gracious and understanding and show mercy to us, even in the midst of our own confusion or our own wrong thinking. And so this is a wonderful time, I think, to be talking about the fruit of kindness and how God wants to grow this virtue within us. Because as we become more like Jesus, we should become more kind, more compassionate, forgiving, generous, patient. We should be kind to the people that God places into our lives. And this kindness is rooted in God's kindness to us and to all sinners. There are a number of passages that I could pull from, but I wanted to read you this quote from Luke's gospel. This is Luke's version of the Sermon on the Mount, which we've been starting to go through on Sunday mornings. And when Jesus talks about loving our enemies, he grounds that idea in God's kindness to us and to all sinners, the way God is merciful and kind, even on those who are, you know, guilty of all kinds of sin, who are struggling, who have walked away from the faith. Jesus says, God is kind to those people, so you and I ought to be kind to others. Here's what he says in Luke chapter 6, starting in verse 27. But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. If you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and here's the key. You will be children of the Most High because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. So again, this fruit of kindness is rooted in God's kindness to sinners, which includes us. That even though we didn't deserve it, God sent Jesus into the world for us. That even though we didn't deserve it, Jesus walked to the cross and gave his life for us. Even though we didn't deserve it, Christ was raised from the dead, poured out his Holy Spirit, and now walks in union with us, bringing us into a relationship with God the way we were always meant to have it. Not because we've earned it, and certainly not because we deserve it now. Jesus does all this out of God's kindness, out of his love for his creation, which is given freely and undeservedly. And so if you and I want to be children of God, then we have to go and do likewise. We have to learn to express the same kindness and mercy towards other people, especially when they make us upset. Now, when you read this passage in Luke, it's easy to read it and think that Jesus is telling us that we should become like a doormat. And I think that's especially easy for us to read it that way living here in Michigan, because as we've talked about in this series, there is this kind of Midwest nice in our culture where we like to avoid confrontation or conflict, where we will often ignore issues or try to act like everything's okay in an effort to be quote-unquote nice to people. But that's not the way that God was nice to us. God knew what was in our best interest. God continues to know what's in our best interest. And so when we are in sin, when we are doing things wrong, when we need to change or go in a different direction, God doesn't just let us do our own thing. He gets our attention. He puts people in our lives who will challenge us, or he, you know, gives us a sermon or a scripture or something that's going to call our attention back to him. God loves us so much that he continues to push us forward and lead us in accordance with his will. God is not afraid of being confrontational with his people. But the way that he's confrontational is marked by kindness and mercy. God doesn't condemn us. He doesn't tell us that we are all wrong and that we can't do anything right and that we're hopeless. Instead, God is a patient father. God continues to extend this invitation to relationship and this invitation to obedience. God demonstrates his mercy over and over and over. When you and I fall into the same sin for the 10,000th time and we ask God to forgive us, he doesn't say, that's one too many. I'm so sick of it and I'm so sick of you. No. God continues to receive us. God continues to bless us and he continues to show us his kindness. And so as good Midwestern people, we need to understand that there is a difference between being nice and being kind. Because being kind is really pursuing what is in someone else's best interest, even if it's a little bit awkward or uncomfortable or it feels confrontational. The real kindness is to bring that issue to the surface, to let someone know how we're feeling or to, you know, make sure that we speak up about something because we think highly enough of that person to believe that they will change, that they can hear it, that they can take it, and that they can become better if and when we have that conversation. So just as a very simple example, let's say you're at a party and you meet somebody for the first time, and this guy mishears you saying what your name is, and so he starts calling you Al. For like 2 hours, he keeps calling you Al. He introduces you to somebody else as Al, and you're just feeling too nice to correct him. Well, then, after a couple of hours, a mutual friend walks by, and this new guy says, hey, have you met Al? He's great. And you're like, oh, no, because the friend says, Al? That's not his name. His name is not Al. His name is AJ. Well, now, because I didn't want to bring that up, because I didn't want to embarrass this guy, I've actually created a much more awkward, much more embarrassing situation, and he feels way worse than if I would have just corrected him 10 minutes into our conversation. I think the same kind of thing plays out all of the time. You and I are given opportunities to extend kindness to others by calling them out, by naming sin, by expressing how we're feeling. And we have a choice whether or not we are willing to do that and pursue what's in their best interests, or whether or not we will just kind of, you know, be nice and hope it all works out. Now, beyond that, kindness can take many forms. Obviously, being kind to somebody means speaking in a patient tone of voice. It means being generous with what we've been given. Being kind means thinking of others and their needs, checking in on somebody who you know is struggling, being thoughtful and attentive. Being kind is all about pursuing what is best for that person, helping them to feel supported, helping them to feel loved, and in doing so, sort of putting hands and feet onto Jesus' love for them in a very tangible way. And so as you go into this week, is there somebody that God is inviting you to show greater kindness towards? Is there somebody that God would want you to pay attention to? Is there somebody that God would want you to reach out to or be generous to in some way? Is there something God wants you to do with your time or your energy that is focused on somebody else and their needs rather than your own situation and your own struggles? Being kind means being like Christ, pursuing what is best for them and doing the very best that we can to put all of the fruit of the Spirit on display, to be self-controlled, to be patient, and to show that undeserved agape love to the people that God has placed in our lives. Now, throughout the series, we've talked about how we can't will ourselves to develop the fruit of the Spirit. It's like we're gardeners. We're cultivating the soil of our own hearts and lives and creating the right conditions for God to grow these fruit within us. And so in the spirit of that, I wanted to share an article, and we'll have a link to it in the show notes as well. This was an article on InterVarsity Press a few years ago, and this author, Lisa Reek, shared a few things that make it harder for her to show kindness to others. So she's talking about some of the challenges of being kind to other people, especially when they, you know, get under your skin in some way. And she lists three things that can easily make it difficult for her to show kindness to people. And so the first is tiredness. And I think all of us can understand why being tired makes it hard to be kind. When you are fatigued or you're stressed out, you're more focused on yourself and your own struggles, your own issues, and you just feel like you have less in the tank to give to others. And so one way that we can create the conditions for God to grow kindness in us is to just take care of our physical health, to make sure we're getting enough sleep, to make sure we're eating well, that we're exercising, that we're generally in a good place, so that when we are challenged to respond to people in a Christ-like way, we'll have the reserves or the energy that we need in order to be kind and to be patient and to exercise self-control. Along the same lines, the second challenge is busyness. And this, again, creates stress. It makes us tired and worn down, and it takes away our reserves of energy that we would normally be able to use on behalf of other people. So I know that for myself, when I am too busy, the little things start to bother me way more than they need to. When I'm too busy or I'm very stressed out, all of a sudden, you know, that towel on the floor, those dishes on the sink, they feel like a much bigger deal than they actually are. Being busy kind of warps our perspective. It makes everything feel like a crisis or like it has to be dealt with right away. And so again, managing our schedule, taking care of our physical health, and spending that time with God is key if we want to be able to experience the fruit of kindness in our relationships with others. The last thing that she lists is one that that I struggle with as well, and that's the issue of pride and how when we tend to look down on people or think less of people, it makes it harder to be kind to them. You know that when you think somebody is dead wrong, or when you think their logic is totally flawed, when you think somebody is just living this lifestyle that you can't understand or you don't respect what they do, it's hard to be kind, right? It's hard not to think that you are better, that the answers are so obvious. It's hard not to get impatient or to be belittling in the way that you speak to them. And so checking our attitude towards others, remembering that, you know, that Democrat or that Republican or that person that is very different than you, that they are a child of God, that they were made in God's image, that God loves them just as much as he loves you, and that Jesus is calling you to respond appropriately to them. You and I are not actually all that special. You and I are just as wrong about plenty of things. And so if we can have the humility to remember that we're not actually better than others and that God loves them just as much as he loves us, that can help us remember to be kind in the way that we respond to people. And so I'm going to, again, share a link to that article because I think it's really helpful. And again, one of the keys of experiencing the fruit of the Spirit is to be spending time with God, both in scripture and in prayer, and asking for God to grow that fruit within us. So as we have the last few weeks, I want to close our time with a prayer and just invite you, wherever you are, whatever you're doing right now, I want to invite you to stop and join me in praying that God would help us to respond to people more kindly as we go through this week. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for being a God who has shown kindness to us, that even while we were sinners, before we ever deserved it, Jesus loved us and gave himself for us as a way of demonstrating your love for your people. Father, we pray that you'll help us to develop the same attitude towards the people in our lives, that we can learn to see them the way that you see them, that we would be motivated to be kind, to be patient and generous in the way we respond. And we pray for both the courage and the conviction to pursue what is best for other people, to do what's in their best interest, even if it feels a little awkward or uncomfortable. Help us to be willing to speak up on behalf of others. Help us to know how to vocalize our own feelings when there is tension or conflict. Help us, Lord, to have the wisdom to know when we should hold our tongues and when we should speak in order to help somebody else confront their sin and understand how to respond in a Christ-like way. We thank you for being kind to us. and we pray that you will help us now to be kind to others as we go into this week. It's in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit we pray. Amen. Well, friends, that's it for this week. I want to say thank you for listening. And again, if you have any questions or there's anything you'd like to discuss, please don't hesitate to reach out. You can contact me, Pastor AJ, at southgranvillechurch.org. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.